Let's talk to Peter Morici now. He's a University of Maryland economist and a columnist. Has been tracking this tax bill pretty closely. Peter, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Nice to have you this morning. As we've looked at this tax bill, one of the big claims the administration has made is that if they can just cut that corporate tax rate, nothing else even happening, but if they could just cut that corporate tax rate, you could see an explosion of business in the United States and ensure that we're at least at a 3% growth rate going forward, which will help with whatever costs this tax bill may incur. Do you feel like that's the case?
Well, I think we can get close to 3% growth because the economy is really poised to do better than it has over the last several years for a variety of reasons. So that would take us up to maybe 2.4%. This bill is not going to create the kind of growth that Kevin Hassett claims. His own work prior to joining the administration and everything I studied and learned over the last 50 years about macroeconomics would indicate that maybe it could give us, say, another 0.3% after the first couple of years. The first couple of years, because you just give people more money to spend, you get a one-time increase. But after that, long term, we're probably talking about this thing taking us to about 2.7-2.8% growth. If the administration got its way on deregulation, you could get to 3. That is not going to pay for the tax cut.
Is that because the congressional versions of the bill are wanting, or even the pie in the sky version that the Trump administration wouldn't achieve the growth that they need?
In terms of tax cuts paying for themselves, they always pay for part of themselves. They never pay for it all. There would have to be something other than the normal stimulative effect. Basically, cutting the tax on investment by 20% will increase investment by 10 to 20%. That's the elasticity, as we say in economics. Given the deregulatory, and by the way, that has its own findings in his own published research, which is consistent with that of many others, and I can show you the scholarly papers. So there is a positive effect. The liberal studies that say it goes the other way are nonsense. There would have to be some other paradynamic effect. For example, our tax rates are dramatically higher than everybody else's. So if we then became lower, capital would come back. This 20% cut will barely bring us into parity. We'll be at the upper edge of corporate taxes still among countries that we compete with. So as a consequence, you can't expect companies going to come rushing back to pay at best the same taxes in the United States. It's just going forward when they have a choice between the United States and Ireland or the United States and Germany will be more competitive than we were before. So there isn't going to be some sort of like vowel switch or throwing a big switch or something. The world is not going to change dramatically because of this. Part of the problem here is that this White House is very thin on economists, very, very thin. And in order to get in there, you basically have to sell your soul, say things that just ain't true. I mean, look at it. He's not sending an economist to the Fed. He doesn't have an economist heading either the Treasury or the National Economic Council. There's barely a handful of them over there. And in order to even stay in the building, you have to sell your soul. He doesn't like them.
Peter, I'd like to ask, maybe this is a very naive question, but we keep hearing about how they have to pay for the tax cuts because we have to make the money up somewhere. Why can't we cut spending?
Oh, we can, and I've been a big advocate of that. There are things that 60% of the federal budget is entitlements, and we are on track over the next decade, if we stayed the way we are now, no tax cut, that entitlements would take 100% of the tax revenue within 10 years. And a lot of those entitlements really are fraudulent. Let me give you an example. One out of 20 adults, that is people between the ages of 16 and 65, are on a Social Security disability. Now, not many 16-year-olds can get there, so think about it, what it is for 21 to 65. It's even higher. That's absurd. And so much higher than anything we've had historically. Look down the street from you. Are 1 out of 20 people incapable of doing some kind of work? The system is terribly gamed and defrauded. And that's something the Obama people did to basically park unemployed people in places like West Virginia, Maine, Alaska, places where there's really rampant unemployment, that people don't want to leave, are not very presentable, are very hard to place even if they do move. And there's other things. Those folks that don't work, that are able-bodied, that have no kids to take care of, can also get Medicaid in 27 states. They can get Section 8 housing and do. They can get food stamps and do. So, you know, people talk about a guaranteed annual income. Actually, we have it. You just have to chip it off in pieces. So I think we could cut a lot of that without taking money away from the crippled girl that Chuck Schumer rolled out while we were talking about health care reform. You know, he rolled out this crippled woman who depends on Medicaid to continue working. Nobody was talking about taking that stuff away. But when the Republicans tried to reform Medicaid, who voted against it? The senators from Maine, West Virginia, and Alaska. Murkowski, Capito, and Collins really aren't Republicans. They're wholly dedicated to the Democratic business model, buying votes by giving your listeners money away.
Okay, so there's not a lot of courage here to tackle spending. If they could ever surmount the courage, actually summon the courage to take on tax reform, what is on your wish list for taxes here that they're not doing?
Well, if we put more money into the personal tax cuts than the $228 billion that the original House bill had, now it's more like $300 billion, then you could cut rates enough that people, even the people in the high tax states like California, New York, Connecticut, would not feel the end of the state and local tax deductions. Then we could really get rid of deductions, virtually all of them, and no one would get a tax increase. The problem is there isn't. If you pay for the corporate tax reform with $750 billion, you have some pass-through benefits for LLCs and so forth. You don't have enough money left for personal tax reductions, and that's the problem. If they had done things like go after the carried interest, which Cohn, Trump, and Mnuchin
right.
all have dramatically benefited from. If they'd gone along with border tax adjustments, which every other industrialized country does that we don't, then we could have a truly territorial corporate tax system, and we could finance the kinds of tax cuts that I just described, and then some. But the president caved into lobbyists and, frankly, caved into the personal interests of Cohn, Mnuchin, and his kids. The reality is this White House is every bit as corrupt as the last one. If you drive down Pennsylvania Avenue right now, close your windows, because while they're doing tax legislation, the place stinks.
All right, well, this is a vote against the tax legislation. Peter Morici, thanks as always for joining us on Mornings in the Mall. Appreciate you stopping by.
Take care.
I got to say, the president is expected on Capitol Hill Thursday to speak to House Republicans in the morning ahead of their vote on the tax plan. The Senate vote, not far behind. They're still going to be working this thing out.
6:15